We are going to be reading from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke this morning. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Luke 2, verse 1. And Almighty God, as our hearts have been lifted by what we just heard, Lord, how we thank you for that. How we thank you for helping put our hearts and minds in the position to hear from you, to receive the great joy that comes from the celebration of the Christ child. May we stay in that place where we have been brought. And be prepared to move further. In Jesus' name. Amen. We have been talking about the coming of Christ these last few weeks. We talked about the prophecy in Malachi and how there had been 400 years of silence from God. And we talked about the lineage to Christ that's given in Matthew and how it shows the brokenness of the human race. How the women that are listed in there exhibit things that have happened through history. And yet, when that broken human condition was touched by the Holy Spirit, the world got to see Jesus. And what an example that is for us. If we will just, as Mary said, let it be to me as you have said, I am the Lord's servant. If we will say those words and mean them and allow the Holy Spirit to touch us, the world over and over again can get to see Jesus. And now Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I'm going to go back, not because of tradition or because of what I like in the language, but because it's more accurate. I'm going to re-add something that was taken out in this version. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And I say that because that is an accurate account of what would have happened. Any child that was born during that time was wrapped in swaddling clothes, and they weren't just loosely wrapped cloths. It was a very particular way of wrapping a newborn. And they were first bathed in a solution of salt water and then wrapped in these swaddling cloths, and it gave the child comfort. They were wrapped tightly around them and gently, and with legs and hips in certain ways that wouldn't injure them from being wrapped tightly that way. But it gave them comfort, and it also was believed to help them grow correctly. It's actually back in fashion. Go home and Google it, swaddling, and you will see videos that teach you how to swaddle an infant. The reason I say this is what took place here, you can read even in the book of Ezekiel God, in a metaphoric sense, telling them that they will no longer be swaddled. They will no longer be bathed, but they will be left alone. And it was part of that time when they had departed from the way of God, and it was his response to them. So this is an important, small but an important note here. What do we know from this passage of Scripture? Is it very short, 7 verses, 8 verses? And yet it is the Christmas story. We know we've read recently about Mary and her encounter with the angel and how she was to become pregnant with this child who was from God, and how she was alone in this for a time. And she went off to be with her cousin Elizabeth, who was experiencing a different kind but yet still miraculous birth of her own, who would be John the Baptist. And we know that Joseph went a period of time before he knew the truth. And Joseph's character got a chance to shine through in this. And we have also talked about the importance of Mary and Joseph's character in the raising of this child. But now we find ourselves in this little nutshell that is the Christmas story. And what we can see from the beginning is that this is not the way God intended man to live. This is not the way that God intended the nation of Israel to live. We get that from the very first part of this chapter. You see, God was their God. God was their king. The pagan nations had kings, and Israel began to stomp and whine, and they wanted a king too. And they eventually got one. They thought that would elevate them to the state of the nations around them. But we know if we read through the Old Testament that, you know, this didn't happen, that their ride on top was like a roller coaster ride, and it often, more often than not, ended up at a low point. And this is one of those low points. This is not a mighty, free nation of Israel here. This is a nation under the rule of Rome, where Caesar could demand and they had to respond. And so when Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken, and these census took place for two reasons. One, it was to determine who was available for military service, and the other was to determine who would be taxed. And because they did not trust these Jewish people to be in their military, they were exempt from that. But they did find their money very easy to take. And so this nation of Israel found themselves, this land of Judea found themselves under the rule of Caesar, as they were now part of the Roman world. And so by the word and the law of Caesar, who thought himself to be God, Joseph had to take an 80-mile trip with his very pregnant wife to go to Bethlehem. And yet, we see the sovereignty of God. We see the sovereignty of God shining through this. Because as it was prophesied, the Savior would be born where? In Bethlehem. So working through the actions and words of a man who didn't believe in God, who thought himself to be a God, the Almighty God manipulated this situation so that his prophecy would be fulfilled. And we have Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, where she wrapped him in the swaddling clothes and placed them in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the inns at that time were more than likely more like stalls themselves. Open front, where travelers would get a little section for themselves to go in. There were none of those places left, and Joseph didn't have the wherewithal to maybe buy someone else out. And I would like to think that if I were standing somewhere and I saw a woman about ready to give birth and she needed anything, what would you do? Wouldn't you want to help? Wouldn't you want to help? I mean, how many times do you see the scenes in those movies of the car that's speeding and the policeman pulls them over and you see the woman there and she's in labor and the cop flies ahead and turns his sirens on, whatever it takes to get her where she needs to be. And yet the world was in such a state in Bethlehem on this day. No one cared. No one cared. The best they got was to go in to the same place where they kept the cows and donkeys. There was no room. And yet, into this we see to whom Christ was born and how He was born. He was born with humility in humble circumstances. It would be announced to the lowest of the low first. It would be announced to the shepherds first. Jesus came for all. But they emphasized that He came to the humble, to the poor, to the downtrodden. By their own existence, by the very means and the very place and the very time. They were under Caesar's rule like everyone else. They had to obey like everyone else. You didn't have money, you didn't get the better stuff, just like everybody else. No room. No room in the palace. No room in the better houses, just in a stable for this Christ to be born. He was born in a mess. He was born where it smelled. He was laid in a feeding trough that cows or whatever animals were there ate out of. And yet, this was Messiah. This was the Christ. God didn't need to use the palace. God didn't need to use a platform. God didn't need to bring Him in on a white horse. God didn't need any of that. For His will to come forward. For His will to be done. For this Christ to come up out of the most humble circumstances. To be walking forward. To walk through death. To walk through resurrection. To walk through ascension. To be walking toward that place where that man who was born in the most humble of circumstances will be the same man who stands before all of creation and whom every person that has ever lived will bow and proclaim who He is. It's not the way we would have done it. It's not the way we would have written the story. But it is the truth of the coming of the Christ. And in that baby, in that little baby, all the hope, all the peace, all the love, praise God, all the salvation of the world existed in that child. And in one sense, this was a small, quiet, humble moment for anyone who had human eyes to see. That's what they saw. But in the spiritual realm, as I've said before, this was an act of great violence. This was a proclamation of victory. This was a pushing back of the enemy. This was a putting a stake in the ground. In the spiritual realm, this was an announcement to Satan that your end has come. And we need not forget that part of the Christmas story, because as beautiful as the rest is, this has a great beauty in itself, because it is from that perspective, it is in that realm that our salvation comes. It is that defeat over the enemy, defeat over sin and death that began at that birth. that began our salvation for everyone who would ever call upon the name of Jesus. Without fanfare at the stable, but with great fanfare in the heavens. The King had come. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being the angel that got to go down and announce to the shepherds? For centuries, and we don't know what time passes like in heaven, but these angels who existed only to serve God, they existed to serve and to honor and to worship God, and had watched one of their own cause all this pain and suffering and death in the world. And they knew that there was a plan in place. And I just can't help but imagine that they were straining for this moment. And can you imagine being the one that got to go, being the angel that got to go and make this proclamation? A proclamation of peace to come for mankind, but also a proclamation of war in the spiritual realm, with a victory that's assured. Again, not in the way that we would have written it. Not in the way that we would expect it, but in a way that is still truth. For church, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That peace that began in that time is the peace that is for you. Jesus came, that tiny baby, born to die, born to live a cruel life, born for you, born for me. The world needs Christmas. The world needs Christmas. The world needs Jesus. We're a little better than a week away from the violence that happened just 9 or 10 days ago. But in that time, not one event that was as remarkable as that tragedy in Connecticut, not one event that has been like that. But you know, more children have died. More children have died from hunger, from abuse, from lack of proper hygiene. Wars continue to rage. Bombs continue to be set off. The world needs Jesus. The world needs to make room for Jesus. The world needs to let him in. And so our call is to bring Jesus to that world. It's to respond like Mary and Joseph did. They may not have wanted to go to Bethlehem. Joseph probably felt resentment that some guy in Rome could say something that meant so little to him, that it caused him to have to drag his wife 8+ months pregnant, however long this journey took, and carry her down 80 miles. And yet they went. But God guided their steps. They maintained their focus on God. And see, the lesson for us is, if we do the same thing, then regardless of the circumstances around us, and it's easy to get caught up, and there are things that we should participate in, there's times for us to say certain things, but it is always the time to keep our eyes focused on God and work through the circumstances in which we live. And show Jesus to the world. In an unexpected way, in unexpected times, in unexpected circumstances, to help Jesus show up in somebody else's life. The shepherds weren't expecting to see Jesus. They weren't expecting to see the Messiah. They had no idea that this day was the day. And there's people like that in your lives. There's people like that in your neighborhoods, in your schools, where you work. There's people that aren't expecting. They haven't even thought about Jesus. But because you have your eyes on God, because you allow the Holy Spirit into your life, there will become a moment in your day when you can show them Jesus. An unexpected moment. On your part, an unplanned moment, maybe. But God has been orchestrating these moments for each of us. As certainly as He has orchestrated moments, those moments for Mary and Joseph, He is orchestrating moments for you to show Jesus to someone. In 2 days, it's December 25th. In 3 days, it's December 26th. In a week, it's December 30th. Christmas doesn't rely on the calendar. Now, the trees and the shopping and the sales, yeah. But your opportunity to show Jesus, your opportunity to show Jesus to someone is not about a calendar. It's not about your circumstance. It's about your willingness to keep your eye on God and to let His Holy Spirit move in your life. Amen. Jesus was born for an ultimate reason, our salvation. Many reasons or many things that He went through in His life were part of that plan, steps that He had to go through. And this is one of those steps. This is one of those reasons that Jesus, that child that Mary wrapped so gently and carefully, who she took care of, who she loved, who she nurtured, who came to that place where they were because of the Roman occupation of a Jewish area, would one day have that same body dragged through the street to be abused. Same Roman occupation, same submission by the Jewish authorities. Their working together brought this into existence. And on the night that Jesus gave Himself up for us, He took the loaf and He broke it. And He said, "This is My body given for you. Take and eat." And likewise, when the meal was over, He took the cup. And Jesus, sitting at the table with those He loved the most, those to whom He was closest, He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant that is in My blood. Take and drink." And the world changed. Father God, we ask, Lord, on these elements, your blessing. Lord, that you would touch them so they would touch us. That you would change them so they would change us. In Jesus' name, amen.